Hey, listen, are you thinking about buying tickets to your favorite sports, concert, or theater event? Maybe you want to experience a basketball game courtside rather than on your couch. Maybe you go to a hockey game and you bang on the glass instead of your own TV in your own living room. Then head on over to FanExchange.com for a safe, easy, and reliable experience. Tickets purchased on FanExchange are always guaranteed. There's no getting to the gate and worrying about getting in. So whether it's NBA, Major League Baseball, WrestleMania, Coachella, maybe a Broadway musical, FanExchange will get you closer to the action. Find the very best seats at the best prices at FanExchange.com. Use the promo code Rome, and you'll get 50% off the service fees on your next purchase. Fan Exchange. We have tickets. That's Fan Exchange. Into our second hour, we're live from the Quicken Loan Studios in Southern California. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Draft day. Getting underway in several hours. We had Mike Mayock on in hour number one. More and more momentum and speculation that maybe Baker Mayfield goes number one overall. We know that the Browns have the first pick. They've got the fourth pick. And who knows at this point who they're looking at. I just know this. I know that the sooner this thing starts, the better it's going to be, because that'll put an end to all these stupid stories with these terrible hedges and all the time people have on their hands to throw whatever they can up against the wall. Let's get this thing on already. 1-800-636-8686. We covered that in hour number one. We covered LeBron going LeBron. Coming up in about 35 minutes, the head football coach of Oklahoma, Lincoln Riley. Next hour, we talk some hockey. Vegas Golden Knight hockey. George McPhee, the GM of that team, joins us. In the meantime, phone lines are open. I talked about LeBron going LeBron. Let's talk Russ going Russ. After getting stomped in consecutive games by Utah, the Thunder go back to OKC in desperation mode. Or at least I thought they would. Because what they really did was go back in sleep mode. Because the Jazz carved them in Game 5. Jay Crowder, Joe Ingles were taking turns lighting them up. Donovan Mitchell was wrecking Utah. Or wrecking OKC. Utah led by 15 at the half. They started the second half on an 8-1 run. It could not have been any more embarrassing for the Thunder than it was. Humiliating. Backs against the wall. They had no fire. They had no heart. Utah ripped that art. Ripped that out. And it was looking like it was about time for OKC to rip out their golf clubs. Then Utah gets up 25 with 8:34 left in the third. It looked for sure like the Thunder had reached that point in the game and in their season where you do break the huddle with 1-2-3, Cancun. Their season was over. The big three. Let's be real about that for a minute. Really, there's only a big two and some other dude. Anyway, the big two and that other dude looked like they were over. And believe me, it was all for the best. Because none of those guys want to be out there. None of them. But then something happened. Actually, Russell Westbrook happened. He hits back-to-back threes and hit OKC with the paddles. His pair of threes was followed up by a Paul George and one. Two more Westbrook buckets, and suddenly it's a 13-point game. Normally, trailing by 13 in the third of an elimination game is not a reason to party. But the way OKC had been playing, it was. And the Thunder fans were feeling it. And if they were loud when they were down by 13... then check the decibels right here.
George, 35 seconds. Cross court right to Westbrook. Pulls up, pops. Angle right three to tie. Drop! It's even at 78. Do you believe it? Cha-ching! A Thunder money ball, baby! 35 seconds left in the third. From 25 back, it's even. Westbrook with 32 tonight.
Thunder radio. From 25 back, then it was even. That gave Westbrook 20 for the quarter. And he pulled them right back from the dead. After rightly taking heat for guaranteeing that he would shut down Ricky Rubio, Westbrook took that heat and blasted everybody with fire. Final numbers for this guy, 45 points, 15 boards, 7 assists. A classic Westbrook performance in every way, shape, and form. I mean, this dude, the fury, the ferocity. I mean, truly ridiculous. Everything you love about this guy and some of the things that you don't all wrapped up in one game. I mean, what the hell was that? Well, some of that was Rudy Gobert getting into foul trouble, followed by Derek Favors getting into foul trouble. But most of that, if not all of that, were Russ and Paul saying that Russ and Paul were not going to end last night. At one point, Westbrook and George scored 39 straight for the Thunder. They had 60 of their final 67. So Russ didn't change. Russ did what Russ does. He starts 5 for 19, and then he proceeds to put up 20 shots in the final 20 minutes. Not the most efficient shooter. Far from it. But when this guy gets rolling, you can cancel Christmas, or at least the early tee time. Because he's one of the few guys on the planet who can do what he just did. Drag a team back from down 25 to up 8. Now notice the one name that I didn't mention at all in the Thunder comeback. Well, let's put it this way. The Jazz were not the same team with Gobert on the bench, and the Thunder were not the same team with Melo on the bench. One team got worse, the other team got better, a lot better. The Stifle Tower limits opponents, Melo limits teammates. So while Westbrook and George were lighting up the Jazz, Melo was lighting up Thunder assistant Maurice Cheeks, trying to get back into the game. And the Thunder coach was rightfully reluctant to let him do so. The team belongs to Westbrook and George and Steven Adams, but mostly to Westbrook. Well, actually, entirely to Westbrook. Melo, stop talking. They'll let you know if they need you, and they don't. You want to win? You want to help? Stay the hell out of the Big Two's way. You all live to fight another day, and you had nothing to do with it. Stop making it about you, and when Russ comes off the floor for a breather, make sure you're out of your chair and let the guy who's busting his ass have it. Stop talking. Stay out of the way. You're not helping them. You're hurting them, man. And you shouldn't be trying to get back in that game when they're coming back without you, Melo. Down 25, up 8. Russ goes Russ. I mean, that obit was written. That hole was dug. That nail was in that birch box. They were finished. They were ended. And they lived to fight another day. Because Russ goes Russ. And Playoff P showed up too. And Melo did nothing to help. 1-800-636-8686. Jazz fan, bad things. Bad things. You never live that down. You got to finish these guys when you have the shot. And they had their shot. All right, we should get a telephone call in here. I've run out a lot of takes in the first hour plus. It's a little weird. Why would I be getting a call from the HR department? Normally, they email me if they need me. Normally, they pick up the phone and they hit me up if they need me. Kind of weird that something that official would go through on the show. Well, one way to find out. I don't want to be in any trouble now. Last thing I want to do is get on the wrong side of the HR department. Let's go to CBS Radio's HR department. I've seen stranger things. Let's find out. Well, hello. Is this really the HR department?
It is, Mr. Roman. You're correct. We typically do email or call you directly, but this is something important enough. We wanted to reach out to you immediately.
It sounds official.
We've been getting a number of complaints out from California. And you know, we don't typically stick our nose in your business, but from what we understand, there's about 15 or 16 little hellions running around the studio, eating everyone's lunch and offering unsolicited fantasy football advice. Now, Mr. Rome, we don't know that this has something to do with you, but each one of these little hellions answers to the name Doloro. Do you know anything about this?
You know, actually, I do, and I appreciate you taking the time to call me and let me know about that. Listen, Alvin Doloro has kids. It's Take Your Kid to Work Day.
Dude.
He has lots of kids. Several kids. Like a dozen kids. I wouldn't call them hellions, but yeah, they're running around, and they're eating, and they're doing what kids do. Marking the place up, on my phone, on my computer, playing games. It's fine. It's good. Whatever complaint you have received has not come from me and nobody who works here. It is fine. Alvin, how many kids do you have now? It feels like 15. Nobody brought their kid to work. This is a tired joke, a beaten down joke. The second I saw that, I didn't know that today was National Bring Your Child to Work Day until I saw it trending on Twitter, but I knew this. The second I saw that, I said, great. If he's got 15 kids, I'm going to get 15,000 at mentions about his 15 kids. And one call from, quote, the HR department of CBS Radio. The joke was not funny when it started. It's really not funny right now. Can we talk about the draft? Can we talk NBA playoffs? Can we talk NHL playoffs? Can we talk about Baker Mayfield? Can we talk about his tweet? Can we even talk about Josh Allen's deleted tweets? Can we talk about anything other than Alvy's kids? Can we talk about Alvin being a star player in high school and leading his high school to a state championship? Why don't we ever talk about that? Go to YouTube. It happened. Alvin actually had something to do with last night's call. A story that I may or may not get to a little bit later on. The call of LeBron going LeBron with that chase down goaltend. Block. And then the three-point dagger. Dear Rome, regarding my tweets, all I can say is, excuse me, my bad.
No, excuse me, my bad.
Son, Josh Allen. Dan in C-Town. Wore the triple coilers. Excuse me, my bad.
My bad, I called it wrong.
My bad, I had some racist tweets in high school. My bad, excuse me.
Excuse me, my bad.
Mark in Hollywood tweets, MJ winning his fifth. Kobe winning his fifth. LBJ winning a game to take a 3-2 lead in a round one series against a team he should have swept by now. Hashtag strive for greatness.
Strive for greatness out here, cuz.
Yeah, that's why I brought it up. That's why I brought it up. I said ordinarily seeing a guy jump up on the scorer's table for taking a 3-1 lead in the first series, especially that guy, the alleged GOAT, is a bit of an overreaction. Except that look around him. The guy's beating that team single-handedly. LeBron 3, Indiana 2, and considering the block that he made on Oladipo and that three-point dagger, I've got no issue with it. If this guy wants to jump up on the scorer's table when he's down to his last couple of games in that building, so be it. I see you working, though, Mark. MJ winning his fifth, Kobe winning his fifth, LBJ winning a game to take a 3-2 lead in the series or in round one series that he should have swept by now. Or, by the way, they could have lost by now. That's why that dude's up on the scorer's table. Feeling it. Josh Allen. Regarding my tweets, all I can say is, excuse me, my bad.
No, excuse me, my bad.
I didn't mean that.
My bad.
By the way, you meant those tweets when you thumbed them out, Josh.
Called it wrong.
You didn't call that wrong. That's not your bad. You meant it when you did it.
My bad.
And to every other athlete or every other human being, don't think it. Better not to be ignorant and to think racist thoughts. But if you're going to, if you really are going to think those thoughts, I wouldn't put them down on social. It'll come back to bite you, especially if you're somebody who matters. I mean, how many nervous people are there right now? I'll tell you how many. Anybody who could go in the first round. This could come back. In fact, I would not be surprised if something happened between now and the draft where something also came up. Somebody call somebody. Because somebody's holding on to
someone
something.
Call someone.
Someone call someone because someone is holding on to something right now. In the next ensuing hours before the start of the draft or once the draft gets underway, I wonder if there's something else out there that's going to come back to bite somebody. Because someone is holding on to something someone. Like somebody was holding on to those tweets. Romy. 4 unanswered goals has Toronto Maple Leafs written all over it. The only thing better than them losing is them putting another collapse on a tee for the Bruins to hammer out of the park. Tyler in Edmonton, co-manager of Team Canada. Man, I hate to say it, but that's not the first time we've seen that from them. That's not the first time we've seen that from them against them. I think the future looks bright. But what I saw last night's not. Excuse me, my bad.
No, excuse me, my bad.
But that was a great Game 7, wasn't it? Especially the way that game started. And especially the way things were trending for Toronto, only to have them go Toronto and lose it again. All right, hang in. We're coming right back. And when we do, why don't we talk some hockey? I've got Lincoln Riley coming up later on in the hour. The Clones, I know there are plenty of you out there that had a tough night. Because people have trouble sleeping. I understand this. A lot of people I know have trouble sleeping, and it's not just stress, it's the snoring. Either you snore or the person next to you snores. Either way, I've got the solution. The revolutionary Zipa device. Zipa is a game changer. If you snore, you're not sleeping. And if you're not sleeping, you're not succeeding. If you want success, you've got to be sharp. You have to be well-rested. You have to be at your best. Zipa is your solution. It will help you get the great night of sleep that you need so you feel great in the morning. Everybody who sleeps next to somebody who snores has got the same issue as the snorer himself or herself. Get a Zipa for everybody. If you snore or the person next to you snores, get a Zipa. I want you to go to ZYPPAH.com. That's Happy Z spelled backwards. It's easy to remember. Go to Zipa.com right now. Get yours. ZYPPAH. ZYPPAH. Zipa. Get the great night of sleep that you need and you deserve with a Zipa device.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
I'm not going to wait until next hour to talk hockey when George McPhee joins me. In fact, I'm not going to wait another second. Why don't we do it right now? We've hit the draft. We've hit LeBron. We've hit Russ. Let's talk Boston v. Toronto. You know, it's a crazy night in sports when a Stanley Cup playoff game 7 gets lost in the shuffle, because that does not happen. Not around here. You don't lose track of game 7s, especially in the postseason, especially in the Stanley Cup playoffs. I still think the NHL's got the best postseason. And if they've got the best postseason, then there's nothing like a Game 7 in that postseason. Trust me, I'm going to talk about it, especially when that Game 7 involves Boston and Toronto, a couple of original six franchises, a couple of diehard fan bases, two of the blue bloods of that sport, dropping the puck and playing one of those win or go home in a series, not at 3 games apiece matchups. And if you're wondering if that game lives up to the hype, of course it does. Hell yes, it does. 11 goals, 5 lead changes. Toronto jumping out early. Boston responding. The Bruins taking the lead. The Leafs fighting back to take a 4-3 lead in the third. For once, it looks like it's going to be different for Toronto. And Boston, a team with legitimate cup aspirations, sitting in their room, in their own barn, needing to come back against a goalie that they had not been able to solve all series long. It did not look good for the Bees. Then they go off. They nearly bring the garden to the ground as they light the lamp 4 times. 4 times to send Toronto home again.
Kevin Miller with the puck. High slot. Krug fires and scores! Torrey Krug with a blast at the high slot.
Here's DeBrusk going wide. Drops his shoulder. Shoots. He scores! Jake DeBrusk crashing in out in front. It's Pastrnak. He scores!
Pasta goes forehand and fires it by Freddie Anderson. Riley Nash up the middle. Marchand angles over the red line. Backhand. Scores!
No, this is not happening. This is not happening, Toronto. Yeah, but it did again. That's how you finish. That's how you advance, by dropping a 4 spot in the final frame. And I'm not sure how they got to this guy, but they did. By turning Freddie Anderson inside out after he had stood on his head all series long and looked like he might get them to the next round by himself. And by manning the hell up after nearly blowing that 3-1 series lead. And for the Leafs, that's got to hurt. It's got to hurt so much. For Toronto, yet another dagger. After a record-setting regular season, it is still one and done in the playoffs. It's another blown Game 7 against Boston. Another Game 7 loss on the road. Toronto has not won a Game 7 in somebody else's barn in a quarter of a century. If you want to know how badly this one hurt, just listen to Leafs defenseman Jake Gardner.
Not the way we saw it going. Had a lead going into the third period, and you know, I got to be better. It's a lot of this game's on me, and it's just not good enough, especially in a game like this. It's most important game of the season, and you know, I didn't show up, so. There's not much I can say, really.
Well, that dude's choking up. Understandably, that's raw. I mean, that's real. That's raw. That hurts. That hurts. Look, better days are coming for Mike Babcock's squad. We know that. But it doesn't feel like that right now. Not after that. And better days may already be here for the Bees. Only thing missing was Brad Marchand reaching for the mic.
I'd like to ask my liney right here, Marshy, to come over. Yeah. You know what it is. Thank you, Boston.
Thank you.
I'm sure there wasn't a beer or 30 involved there. Listen, if LeBron can jump up on the scorer's table, Alvy. If LeBron can jump up on the scorer's table after a game winner in round one, why can't Marshy show up, jump up on a bench, grab the mic, and drop some black and yellow, black and yellow? Why not? Listen to that guy, man. That must have been some hell of a party.
Thank you,
and no clones.
Thank you.
And no clones. He is not family. He is not family. He is not family. You know why he's not family? Because there is no family. You can't be a part of something that does not exist. Got that? He's not family because there is no family. Got that? One round down. One game seven in the books. And like it always does, the Stanley Cup playoffs deliver. Round two getting underway tonight. Caps, Pens, Vegas, and San Jose. Can't wait.
Can't wait.
Toronto. Devastating loss.
I love when you talk hockey.
Let's go to the emails quickly. Lincoln Riley coming up in 10 minutes. Hi, Jim. It may be spring in the rest of the country, but it's autumn in New England. The Leafs are still falling. Hey-o! War watching playoff hockey being the same as watching someone defuse a bomb. Sarah T. in Providence. Wow, Sarah getting pretty clever. This email is directed at Tyler. Hey, Tyler. Hockey smack loses a lot of its clout when it comes from a fan of a team that has had the first draft pick for like 15 straight years and is still playing golf in April. Son, Mike and Snowbird. Go Sharks. I love it, man. Hockey smack on the program. Now we're getting somewhere. Shark smack. This email reads, Dear Canada, then there was one. Signed, 25 years of no Lord Stanley Cup. Matt in Poland Springs. Canada, I will save you the trouble. I know. Look at how many Canadians are on the roster of all those American-based teams that have won the Stanley Cup. I know. Toronto's out. Boston advances. Is Winnipeg going to bring the cup home? Hate to say it, but they're not. Because they're playing Smashville, who I've already picked. And if I've picked them, you know how that's going to go, because I've never been wrong. Not about the Stanley Cup playoffs. I mean, I've probably been wrong about five different things already on this show, but that's one thing I've never been wrong about. The Stanley Cup playoffs. Look at my record. Check the books. Meantime, Vegas Golden Knights, one of the best stories in all sports. I've got George McPhee coming up next hour, but when we return, the rescheduled Lincoln Riley. I'm fired up for that. Sooner said football coach joins me next segment. I do have episode 34 of the Jim Rome podcast. Something different. I'm going to make you a deal. The deal being, I will give you another week of your voicemail, and they're horrible. And you give me 1 week to talk horse racing, and it's epic. It's a pretty good trade, don't you think? I've got a preview of that coming up later on. Lincoln Riley when we come back, but a sports update for you right now.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
I've hit the NFL draft. I've hit the NBA playoffs. I've hit the NHL playoffs. Got some baseball coming up for you, too. Yankees getting right. And, of course, they are because they've got the Twins in the house. If you want maximum performance from your car, you could use an Edge. Castrol Edge. Castrol Edge with fluid titanium technology is 3 times stronger than the leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown. That, according to the Kurt Orban 5W30 VisGrade test. It helps to fight friction. It delivers outstanding levels of performance. Castrol Edge, the titanium strength motor oil. Rome, here is your draft preview. There will be fat Browns fans wearing the jersey with all 43 quarterbacks in the last 20 years. There will be hours of monotonous film of offensive tackles from the Mountain West. There will be tools on social screaming incoherent expletives when the team drafts the best player to fit their needs, but is a player the social media bag has never heard of. A shark named Mel. A parrot. You're welcome, America. I saved you 4 hours. Damasio in Albuquerque. This one goes back a little bit earlier. Rome, it's too bad the Cavaliers don't play the Pacers tonight. How the hell is LeBron supposed to take his young child, Vic Oladipo, to work this evening if there is no game on the hardwood? Curiously yours, Aaron in Omaha. War Scott Frost making Harbag and Herb piss their pants after seeing the Big Red Machine in action last Saturday. Nothing good about that email, except I did see the Big Red Machine last Saturday. Nothing like 80,000-plus paying customers for a spring game. Scott Frost is a legend already. Not only for what he did at UCF, but to restore the hope, the pride of Nebraska. I cannot wait to see how it plays out. And Husker fan, you know better. It's not going to happen overnight. This is not going to happen overnight, although it seems like they went from winless to alleged national champion at UCF overnight. This is not going to happen overnight, but he's going to fix this thing now. He will. And it's not just a matter of modernizing it. In fact, he wants to go back to the way things were with his slant. More on that later on, but speaking of college football, we're joined right now by the head football coach at Oklahoma. He was named head coach on June 7th, 2017. He led the Sooners to their 11th Big 12 title, a number 2 seed in the college football playoff, and a number 3 final ranking in the AP and coaches poll. He was the Broyles Award winner in 2015 as the top assistant in the nation. Oklahoma is going to open up against FAU on September 1st. Lincoln Riley is my guest. Lincoln, really nice to have you back. How are you?
I'm great, Jim. Thanks for having me on.
Lincoln, great to talk to you. Before we talk about your football team, I got to ask you about some basketball. I saw you tweeting about it last night. Watching the Thunder, Lincoln, they're down 25 in the third quarter in an elimination game. What were you thinking at that point?
Yeah, you know, it didn't look good, obviously, and we're still, you know, trying to, I think, to gel a little bit with you know, being such a new team and kind of putting some of these star players together, but you know, sometimes I think, you know, one game can kind of change everything, change the confidence, kind of the rhythm, just the overall momentum of a season for a team. And I hope last night was that for our guys. They, you know, Russell was unbelievable. Paul George, those guys were incredible. The crowd there was typical Oklahoma sports crowd, you know, stood behind them. It was a great atmosphere. So proud of our guys. Hopefully they can go get another one done in Utah and then come back home and close it out.
Thunder up. Lincoln Riley joining us. Appreciate your thoughts on that. I mentioned off the top you were named head coach last June, so you still haven't even had a full year on the job. What have the last 10-plus months been like for you?
Yeah, crazy. You know, fun. A lot of fun. Hectic, crazy, all the above. You know, yeah, it's definitely been different, you know, to have the first year and all that happened in that in an eventful first year ahead of even your first spring practice. You know, it's been great. Our staff's been great. Our fan support, our administration, they've been tremendous. So it's been a lot of fun. The last season was great with what the team was able to do, win our 11th Big 12 championship, and having a guy win the Heisman, all the different things that happened there, and then recruiting right now is at a great level. So it's a great time for Oklahoma football.
Lincoln Riley joining us. What about you personally? How different would you say you are as a coach right now than even you were at this point last year?
Oh, I mean, I think you still got to be yourself, but you definitely have to. You definitely adapt as you've been in this job, and I know I'd been in it long, but you feel the need to continue to be better for the people around you, the people that are looking, you know, to you to give the program, you know, the direction in every sense of the word. And so, you know, you feel that responsibility. There's so many decisions you make on a daily basis that you got to, you know, continue to do your very best there and continue to grow as a coach. So, you know, all the experiences I've been through have certainly made me better. But I know I've got a long ways to go, but excited to be able to, you know, go through that journey here at a place like Oklahoma. You know, there's really no place like it. And, you know, so to get a chance to do it here is very special to me.
Sooners head football coach Lincoln Riley, my guest. You mentioned your Heisman Trophy winner. I had your former player, Dede Westbrook, on the show yesterday, or the day before, and he was raving about Baker Mayfield as a teammate. From a coach's standpoint, what was Baker like to coach?
A lot of fun. The main reason that he was fun to coach was, you know, even after he had some success early in his career here, he always wanted to get better. He always let me coach him hard, always responded the right way, and was hungry to get better. And you appreciate that about a guy, because human nature, a lot of times when we have some success, says, well, this is going good, I kind of got it now, and we get on a little bit of a cruise control. And it happens to a lot of people. And throughout all the good things he did, he was able to stay humble, focused, continue to be coached hard. And obviously brought a lot to our program. Was a great leader, put every ounce he had into it. But it's fun to see, you know, just the rise from – you know, a guy that was just trying to start here, and then even after he played, a guy that people said would never play in the NFL, never would do this and that, here he is getting ready to be a first-round pick. So it's been fun to see. He was a joy to coach, and I'm excited to see, you know, what this next part of the journey is like for him.
Lincoln Riley, my guest. You know, it's a pretty exhaustive answer. You covered that pretty well. But one more thought about that. During the draft process, you know how this goes, Lincoln. Every guy is going to get picked apart regardless, especially when there's so much time between the end of the season and the draft itself. When that comparison between Johnny Manziel and Baker Mayfield was made, what was your reaction to it?
You know, I don't know Johnny, you know, personally that well. We've met a few times, so I always think it's hard to judge people. So I don't know that I would compare him or not compare him to anybody else, but I'm confident in who Baker is as a person. You know, I've seen how the guy's grown. He's made some mistakes, you know, on a very public stage. That's part, you know, a little bit part of it, part of the growth process, but he's always learned from them. He's always taken responsibility from them. He's never hurt anybody else with them. And I just, the guy that we see each and every day here is a guy that can, you know, certainly did a great job helping to lead our program. And I feel like he's going to do a great job for whichever team is smart enough to select him. He's got a unique way about him, both on and off the field. And then on the field, you know, the comparison, I would say, which, you know, obviously got a chance to know more about Johnny on the field than off, is, you know, Baker's one of the most efficient guys to ever do it. You know, there's not much comparison in the tape when you put it on. Johnny's an electric athlete, not to take anything away from him. But, you know, Baker's very much in control, never, you know, very much within the system, and then making plays when he needs to on the side when something breaks down. So I think there's definitely some differences on the field, and I'm just very confident in the person he is off the field.
Lincoln Riley, my guest. You know, it's not just about Baker Mayfield, though. In fact, I had Mark Andrews and Orlando Brown in studio during the draft prep. So what's going to mean to you to see their names called and know they're taking the next step in their lives and their careers? How much pride is there in that for you as a head coach?
A lot, because, you know, we kind of all came in the door, you know, all of us at the same time, and you know, we're all a part of each other's, you know, success. Those guys, a big part of the reason I got a chance to coach here, and then a chance to be the head coach here. So that's certainly not lost on me. They've been a blast to coach, along with some of our other seniors. I think Obo Okoronkwo's got a chance to really moved up people's draft boards and has a chance to be a high round pick as well. So, yeah. Proud of all those guys. It's been a long journey here. They handled the transition here so well when a lot of people wouldn't. They've won three straight Big 12 championships here, which is so difficult to do, and accomplished so much and done it with class. So they've been a joy to coach, and I couldn't be I couldn't be happier to watch him take the next step. It's one of the best things about our job.
It seems to me, as I'm looking from way over here at what's going on there, you want to embrace the tradition because the program's amazing in that regard. But I'm not saying you want to put your own stamp on it, but obviously you've got something to bring to it. You've got your own ideas. So there's going to be some changes. There's going to be some tweaks. One of the changes was the arrival of your old strength and conditioning coach, Benny Wiley, from when you were playing at Texas Tech. You told SI that when you were there, quote, I was in decent shape for a college kid. I wasn't in good shape for a college athlete. That was a painful day, end quote. So what do you remember about meeting Benny for the first time, and what was it like working out with him?
Well, first, he looks like a Greek god. So he looks like we all wish we could look. And so, you know, you kind of you see that right off the top. And then he's just got such a unique way to be able to push you, to train you, to make you mentally tougher, but also doing it in a way you understand and a way that you respect. And got a great way with people, especially young people. Takes the extra time to really just invest in their lives as a whole. And he's great as far as helping to build the mentality of the team, which I think is maybe the most important job of a strength coach because of the amount of time that they're with them. So, yeah, when this job came open, he was, you know, definitely a guy that shot to the top of my list. And just with the trust that we built up, the real-life situations that we had already been through together, he was the perfect guy for the job, and I think he's already making a difference for us.
Sooners head coach Lincoln Riley for a few more moments here in the jungle. You know, obviously, outside the program, the big question is, who's going to replace Baker Mayfield? Rather than have you break down that quarterback battle, Lincoln, can you tell me, what are you looking for in your starting quarterback?
Well, I mean, I think the most important thing a quarterback can do is get the other 10 guys around him to play better. And I think, you know, so guys can do that different ways. You can be, you know, outgoing and demonstrative like Baker was. Some of the other best leaders I've ever had at that position were guys that were, you know, more reserved and quiet but kind of did it in their own way. But I think you have to be able to captivate people. You have to make people believe in you and believe in what we're doing. And there's just a – you know, and that takes time, that takes effort, that takes, you know, sacrifice to be able to do that for people. As far as on the field, decision-making and accuracy and toughness, I would say are probably the three most important things to me. There's got to be a toughness and a competitiveness. They've got to be able to make fast decisions, especially with all we put on them and our offense. And then they've got to be able to execute them with great accuracy. And so we've been lucky. Had a few guys that have been able to bring those qualities to the table, like Baker has. And I think we've got several here on campus that are more than capable of having a great run here.
All right, so finally, when you lose guys like Baker and Orlando Brown and Mark Andrews, from a coaching standpoint, what's the bigger challenge, replacing their production or replacing their leadership?
Leadership, without a doubt, because I think if you get the leadership right, you know, we're lucky. We can recruit good players here at Oklahoma, and we're working hard to do that right now. And so I think we're going to be able to get talented guys in there, but it's all about the mindset, the mentality of the group, of the individuals. And if you get that right, then I feel like the other things, you know, tend to fall in place. And so, yeah, that's going to be a challenge for us. We've got some good young leaders, but we've also we've got to press hard to develop that. That's been a key to our championships in the last few years, and it'll be a big key if we're going to get a fourth straight this year.
You know, last thing I want to mention this about the spring game, I would argue that maybe the biggest play from that game was that touchdown run from James Woods, where he found a hole in the line. He broke through. He ran for a TD. And Lincoln, for those who don't know, he's a 15-year-old with a rare brain tumor who scored and was mobbed by the team. What's a moment like that mean for you as a coach and for your players?
Well, I mean, you can just create a moment for somebody that they probably could never have. And so, you know, it keeps it in perspective. I mean, we're all very fortunate to be a part of this game, whether we're playing, coaching, whatever we're doing. And to be able to share that with so many people, share that with people that aren't as fortunate as we are, it keeps it in perspective. Those people are the real heroes. And trust me, it inspired our coaches, our team, a lot more than we would ever inspire them or anybody else. So we were thrilled to be able to do it. Love being able to help people out in need, especially young children. And that'll always be a big part of what we believe in here.
It was an awesome, awesome moment. The Sooners win their 11th Big 12 title. They were a number 2 seed in the playoff, number 3 final ranking, and it starts up once again on September 1st against FAU. Lincoln Riley, our guest. Lincoln, great to get caught up. Thanks so much. I really appreciate it.
Definitely. Thank you for having me on, Jim.
You got it. Have a great day, Lincoln. Thank you. Lincoln Riley, head football coach at Oklahoma, and sharing his thoughts on Baker Mayfield, raving about Baker Mayfield. and the other guys that he has. At Good Life Sean tweets, "Dear Jungle Jim, draft day is finally here. War Roger Goodell letting the Alaskan ring announcer butcher the first pick. Hashtag my bad.
Excuse me, my bad."
Got a problem with that thing is that's not just a bad day at the office. If it's a bad day at the office, that's fine. If it jumps the day, then the week, then the month, then the year, then 2 or 3 years, and you clones just beat that thing into the ground, that's much worse than a bad day at the office. I've got a feeling that's going to be one of those things. The guy got one thing wrong, right? In an Alaskan MMA match. But it will live to fight yet another day and week and month and year on this program through no fault of my own.
My bad. I called it wrong.
Looking ahead to the third hour. Still ahead, George McPhee and your telephone calls. Stay tuned.
My bad.